Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we discuss One Life to Live recasting the role of Carlotta over a storyline differences, Rick Hurst's final General Hospital episode, and Beth Eller speaks out on Chuck Pratt and J.R. Martinez. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Reagan, welcome.
Hi.
Jamie, welcome.
Hello.
And Karen from Wubs.net, we have been working to try and get you back on this podcast for ages, it seems, and it never seems to work out, but welcome back.
Yay, thank you. I'm so glad I can be here.
A lot of news went down. Freaky Fridays, I used to call them Freaky Fridays when all the stuff was going on with Days of Our Lives and everything last year, and now it seems that Freaky Fridays are back.
Well, this was Freaky Saturday.
Well, yeah. Freaky Weekends, apparently. Jamie, you broke some news about One Life to Live over the weekend. Give us the story on that, and then let's discuss it.
Reportedly, the actress who plays the role of Carlotta on One Life to Live, Patricia Marcieri, she was fired. She was fired and replaced with Guiding Light actress Sandra Santiago, who played a role on the show previously. She played Isabel Santi. The reason for that, allegedly, is that Ms. Marcieri was in objection to a beat in the gay storyline featuring Kyle and Fish, where Carlotta was supposed to be portrayed as being gay friendly after having a comedic coming to terms with her thoughts that Christian, her son, was gay. She was going to find a book in Christian's possession, How to Come Out to Your Parents. That, of course, was Fish's. The book belonged to Fish. Mm-hmm. It ended up in Christian's possession. Carlotta was going to have a comedic reaction, you know, coming to terms with it, and, oh my God, my son is gay, which leads to her immediately embracing it after, you know, having the typical, you know, reaction. And with Christian going, Mom, I'm not gay. You know, just played, it was a small bit of the story, a small, small piece of the story. The actress allegedly balked at that story beat, went to the producers saying she did not believe Carlotta would be gay friendly. There is speculation, strong speculation, that her own personal beliefs came up again, speculation. We have not heard an official statement from One Life to Live or the actress, but it resulted in her being emergency recast with Sandra Santiago. It's, you know, a second actor in daytime, you know, being replaced after Chris Ingen on The Young and the Restless, with there being the hint of protest about gay storytelling. Not making any judgments, assumptions, anything like that. The Chris Ingen thing taught me that. I'm just reporting it as it came to me. But that is what several sources have revealed to Daytime Confidential, and that is, they recast her because she reportedly objected to this story beat. And it just, for me, the basic genesis of all of this, or the heart of this matter, is you are not a writer. You are paid to be an actor. It doesn't matter. Let's take the gay thing off the table. If they decided that Carlotta have a romance with RJ a while back, if she would have gone in and said, I don't believe Carlotta, a conservative Latina, would date a black man, she should have been fired for that. But she didn't. That's what I'm saying. It's no difference. You're an actor. You do what is scripted. And they're not, you know, there are parameters in daytime television. You're not going to have to do anything immoral, you know, in terms of fit with your own physicality. But in terms of a story part, I just do not have any sympathy for actors trying to make demands.
Reagan, Karen, One of the things that we've discussed, I mean, Karen, you may not, it may not have entered your orbit because it was about YNR, but on YNR, we had the whole thing of Chris Ingen and the fact that he allegedly quit over his not wanting to be involved in the gay storyline for a couple possible reasons. Now we're having it on One Life to Live. What I find ironic about this is that soaps have been telling stories of rape, incest, murder, kidnapping, etc., 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 for decades. And actors have been involved in them. And whether or not you agree with those topics, they've still been portrayed. But it seems like on this one single issue, everybody, or not everybody, but people are starting to have objections when it's less of an issue than, say, rape or incest. What do you got?
Or the mafia. Or the mafia. You know, the protest when her family was plunged into being murderous mobsters?
Well, people just couldn't stand the Santees, period, on that.
I know, but I mean, it's just, I think it's really telling, though, that these people in daytime, you know, star in a medium that poisons women with pancakes and has rape mances and does all this other stuff, but why is a gay storyline, you know, and it's just like society. I mean, everything else under the sun is okay and forgivable and, you know, amendable, but why is gay the thing that draws up all of the religious morality? And it boggles my mind.
I don't even know if it deserves a comment. I think it's absolutely apprehensible and ridiculous that it's 2009, and I don't care what your religious beliefs are. I don't care how old you are. I don't understand where we've gone in society where we still can't be accepting of people and what they choose to do with their own life. Furthermore, it's a story. It's not like they're asking her to change her personal beliefs and start traveling across the country in support of gay rights and gay marriage. They're asking her to do her job as an actress and read a couple of lines. So as far as I'm concerned, she deserved to get fired. I hope the door didn't hit her in the ass on the way out.
Karen?
I think that the gay storyline and in the whole gay issue was the last bastion of things that people can be bigoted against. That, and I have to say, fat actresses in daytime are the second most.
Oh, wow.
Second thing. But as far as the actors go, absolutely their right to walk out the door. Absolutely the producer's right to fire them. It makes me furious to think that in the entertainment industry, there are still people that would not play a role based on some kind of moral belief when quite a few people that they work with are probably of the gay persuasion. And why I don't really know. Obviously the One Life to Live thing just came out. I can't see why someone would object to that unless she felt that Carlotta should have had more of a reaction based on that they're Roman Catholic. I have no idea. But I do think it's the last thing left that people are openly prejudiced against.
This last week, also on One Life to Live, we had it where Gigi revealed to Natalie and Jared that what had taken place with Stacy. They in turn went to Roxy, who is then manipulating Kyle. This whole storyline is starting to play out. What did you think, Reagan?
I like that Natalie and Jared finally admitted that these secrets for the two of them were way too much and that they weren't going to be a part of it. That Gigi needed to go tell Rex the truth or they couldn't do anything to help her. I don't know. It's almost like too little, too late. You know, I really wish this would all have been moved along a long time ago. I mean, really, it feels like Shane's been okay for months now, and we're just now getting around to getting this all figured out. It just, to me, it turned into one of those storylines where too much obvious, too much like this is getting ridiculous now. So many people know the truth already. Just let's get this figured out and out in the open and over with. And it's probably just because I can't stand Stacy. So I hate that so much attention was even thrown in her direction. And they really ruined it by having Rex sleep with her. I mean, it was just Jean-Paul Lavoisier, what he had an interview with who, Michael Fairman, where he said it's just been real awkward to play. And that whole scene with them at Capricorn, you could totally tell.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even just like, you know, him trying to portray Rex's discomfort. It was, you could tell he was just like, what, this is just not where I want to be. It was, there was nothing, there was no heat. There wasn't even a little lukewarm coming out of those two. It was just, ugh.
Reagan, however, I have to say that not moving the storyline along as fast got a little friendship going between Sky and Gigi. And
it
I
did,
really
and I do like that.
Scott
and I,
the...
well,
oh,
and,
yes.
And that's, and in the previews for Monday's episode, they sort of hinted at that when someone asks, or I think it's even Stacy asks him if he's now getting feelings for her.
Mm-hmm. Well, he kind of, she asked him on Friday and he kind of had this flash mm-hmm. to them together. So I think it's going to happen. I think what you'll see is her and Rex trying to get back on track, but he's going to admit to her that he slept with Stacy and that, you know, so then you're going to have Skylar thrown in because they have become friends. And she doesn't, Skylar's kind of filling that role that Brody did for her, and Brody's busy. He's got Jessica to deal with, which is fine by me because I like them together. It's probably could turn out to be a really good triangle because I love Scott Clifton. I loved him on General Hospital, but there was still that quirkiness of Dylan Quartermain that I never felt fit with him as an actor. And just, I don't know what it is since he's gone to One Life to Live to be Skylar, but he has been phenomenal since he got out of Guza's clutches.
I want he and Rex to be brothers.
Oh, that would be a good story.
That is my big thing. So
before we go on, Jamie has some late breaking news. What's that?
Yes. Daytime Confidential's Tina emailed me to let me know that I need to start listening to that Robin Strasser phone check. Strasser revealed that she was given a monetary amount, an offer from One Life to Live, and it's a yes or no deal, take it or leave it. She, of course, didn't say what the monetary amount was, but according to Tina, I haven't listened to this, and so I'll have to listen myself, but I totally, you know, and I just say that because I like to listen to things before I report on them, but according to Tina, who listened to it, it was Strasser saying that it was no negotiation, that she was not offered a negotiation. It's take this sum or leave it. But she, Strasser also cites that Frank Valentini, One Life to Live's executive producer, will be the savior of Daytime, and compared him to Irving Thalberg from the MGM days, the studio days. So yeah, that's a mouthful. I mean, it's obviously she's a fan of Frank's. So this take it or leave it offer, I'm sure probably came over his head. Cause I do believe that Frank and Ron totally value the vets of One Life to Live.
And fans out there, if you haven't listened to her hotline and you're into kind of listening, hearing a little bit about behind the scenes and stuff, she gets very candid about her negotiations, her talks with the producers when it comes to storylines. It's actually a pretty good listen if you're into that kind of stuff. I know a lot of people like to stay spoiler free to a certain degree or don't necessarily want to get their guilty pleasure clouded with the politics behind the scenes, but it's an interesting listen.
Let's talk about All My Children for a moment, because at the same time that all this stuff is going down at One Life to Live, Beth Ehlers did an interview with Stardish Radio. And in it, she talked about Chuck Pratt, and she talked about her co-star, J.R. Martinez. We Love Soaps transcribed the interview, and here's just a little bit of what she had to say. As many times as I would casually try to go into my boss's office and say, are you going to be integrating me, right? When you've been doing this as long as I have been doing it, you know how it's supposed to be done. But you can't tell your bosses that because it's like any other job in the world. You can't know more than your boss because they hate you for it. And so you have to be careful when you go in that you don't tell somebody how to do their job. And I wanted to scream at people. I wanted to go in and say, hello, you're burying me here. You're making this really hard. First, you give me somebody who, God bless him, I love JR, but he's not an actor. And so that's hard enough with somebody who, it's going to be a long time before he gets out of second gear, and I'm constantly having to hedge my performance because I can't be doing Shakespeare while he's doing something else. Martinez responded on Twitter by saying, apparently there are rumors going around that Beth and JR are having a feud between each other. Come on, peeps, we're not. I simply didn't agree with her choice of words in her radio interview. I never expected her to coach me, just give tips to help the storyline. We discussed at length on this podcast about how Beth Eller's character has not been integrated into the cast. We've discussed about how she didn't have chemistry with Ricky Paul Golden when they tried to catch lightning in a bottle twice with that. Now she comes out and is commenting about J.R. Martinez. There's also another large paragraph, which you can read at Daytime Confidential, where she goes more in depth about Pratt. What do you guys think? Jamie, you first, and then the ladies.
Okay. This whole thing really ticked me off. And it's not because someone is voicing their opinion, but I got a couple of beats, and I promise I'll try to get through all of them pretty quickly. I love Beth Ehlers. I grew up watching her as Harley, one of my all-time favorite actors, characters, but... what makes someone an actor? Is Queen Latifah not an actor because she was a rapper that became an actor? Is Jennifer Hudson, who was an American Idol that won an Academy Award, not an actor? This man is an actor. He's an actor on a show. I think this is sour grapes. I'm sorry. I love Beth Ehlers. She bet on a bad horse. She left her show that she was the star on. They made her the star of Guiding Light over Kim Zimmer. What did you expect? If I'm going to leave my job, if I'm going to leave Daytime Confidential and go to Primetime Confidential, I'm going to do some research about Primetime Confidential before I make that leap. If she would have even paid attention to anything that was going on at All My Children in the past decade, Julia Barr, Marcy Walker, Eva LaRue, Sydney Penney, Katie McLean could have told her, don't come over here thinking you're going to get any better treatment than the veteran actresses on this show. I'm sorry. I roll my eyes at this because I'm like, and someone compared it to Victoria Rowell's interview with us. Victoria Rowell had 20 years on Y&R. Love her or hate her, her speaking out after 20 years, I totally get. If this was Susan Lucci, I would applaud her. I'm sorry. In my opinion, you do not get to come over to somebody else's house. And then, I mean, if Jamie Luner was doing this, we'd crucify her. You know what I mean? This really makes me think better of Jamie Luner. You can't come into somebody else's house, and start squawking about how you want better storyline when, as an actor, as a professional, you should have said, I want clear-cut storyline. What are we going to do with this character? Her first sign should have been when they didn't even know. I mean, there were 15 different rumors and speculation of who she was even going to play. They were trying to recapture Lightning in a Bottle. It didn't work. Her co-star on Guiding Light ended up having chemistry with Chrishell Stouse, giving her a second wind on the show, and the show, its only viable super couple in my consideration. And I think it's spoiled. I think it's sour grapes with Beth. She's not happy that she's with, obviously, you can say you love someone all you want, but you can't say that and then say she's having to, this guy's a natural from where I'm sitting on the screen.
To be fair, he's better than half the new people they bring on most of the time.
I really
he's
think
better
she
than
thought,
my
She thought she was gonna get. She thought she was gonna get. This juicy front burner gig, and I mean, this show is dying. They just made Susan Lucci take a pay cut, and they don't utilize her, and she's not talking out. I think that what she said about Chuck Pratt and his writing. I mean, Stevie Wonder could look at the show and say the exact same thing. But we've been saying the exact same thing. I mean, he is a hack, but it's like. It's kind of like one of those situations where it's like, I can call my mama a hoe, but you can't, I'm not really feeling her on this because it's like you left Guiding Light and Guiding Light was dying. So she, smart move, but All My Children isn't in much that much better a shape. I mean, you know, and it's like, you know, I just don't, you know, and I look at the motivation behind the things. And even, yes, the interviews that we do, I look at the star's motivation for doing them. Because you say you can't go into your boss's office and tell him how to do his job, but you can go on the radio.
Yeah, he's not going to hear that.
Reagan, Karen?
I think that there is a strategic move in that, that it's like, you know, but I don't know. Like I said, if this was Julia Barr, I would be, you know, hallelujah. But with Beth, I'm like, come on, dude. That's what's wrong with daytime. You know, these stupid idiot executives at all these 8 shows don't value their own stable of veterans, but they're looking over at these other shows and salivating over them. Ooh, let's get this one over here on GH, or let's get... If As the World Turns would value Martha Byrne, and GH would value Jeannie Francis, and AMC would value Katie McClain, maybe Daytime would be in a fucking better position. But they're all after the other stars. It's this whole mentality of the soap star is greener on the other show. Value the people you have that the fans of your show really like Marcy Walker and these people on the shows. I'm getting mad, but it's like, why are you salivating over PNG actors at ABC? Why is CBS salivating over ABC actors? All the ratings are the same except YNR. They're all separated by 100,000 people. Why are you salivating over people on other shows instead of sitting down and coming up with good stories for the wildly popular vets that your show's fans love? As the World Turns would not be in cancellation trouble if they wrote decent stories for Martha Burns. Now, General Hospital is writing a decent story for her, but they wouldn't write one for Finola Hughes or Jeannie Francis. It's ridiculous. It's killing big time.
And while Jamie cools down, I'll get Reagan and Karen's perspective. Karen, you first.
Oh, great. I get to follow that.
I do it on a regular basis.
Well, is someone that, as far as AMC goes, is someone that looks at the character of Taylor definitely wasn't integrated well. Then again, if you compare it with the integration that goes on at GH, it was leaps and bounds better than ever happens on that show. I personally think that her comments about her fellow actor, not nice. And she probably regrets saying so. I totally agree on using the vets in the history that you have. I can't believe that General Hospital, you know, basically blew up the Quartermains, the Webbers, the Cassadines, and are bringing in new players like the mayor's wife. We haven't even seen the mayor in, what, a year and a half? I don't care. I don't know this person from As the World Turns.
Well, so, for those of us who do, I'm loving her.
is that a real story to you?
It's not so much about the story as the fact that on As the World Turns, after everything that she went through over there, I'm enjoying the story because it's not mob related at this point. And so her performances, she came in slice and diced with people, and I'm enjoying the character. But before we get to that, Reagan, what's your thoughts on the Beth Eller?
Beth left Guiding Light to thinking she was going to go to All My Children, and her and Ricky Paul Golden were going to be the new stars of the show, and everything was going to revolve around them. We've said it a million times. She was cast as the wrong character for that to occur. You have to earn your stripes, no matter who, if you were top dog at another show or not, you got to earn your stripes when you come on to somewhere new. And, you know, was it the writing that was against her? Absolutely. She was out of line talking about JR that way. She was dead on what she had to say about Pratt, but, you know, you're still an actor on a show, and if you want your job, you got to watch what you say. So I'd be a little careful, because with somebody not as integrated as Taylor is, Taylor could be the next one heading out of town.
Let's talk about the funeral for Amanda and Jake's baby. Liza went into labor because she's obsessed with getting this child. I was
faux labor.
Yeah, faux labor, and then they...
Which I enjoyed. Let me just say, Jamie Luder, I enjoyed you this week. That was hilarious.
It was hilarious, but it did make a person raise their eyebrows. Reagan, what'd you think? Karen, what'd you think?
I personally love Ricky Paul, and I just thought the whole thing was hysterical. On top of Tad taking the kid and talking to the baby when the baby was in the back seat, I thought the whole thing was funny. It was totally unbelievable. And as a person that doesn't like Colby very much, I even enjoyed her in those scenes. So I liked it.
Jamie, now I believe you were telling, was it you who was telling me something about the fact, oh no, someone else, sorry. But a friend was talking to me about it. They were laughing when it was like, you have to slow down your labor. You're going too fast.
Oh, the whole thing was hilarious to me. You know, far be it for me to not give credit where credit is due. I was in the Pep Boys all day with my car. And I, of course, watched ABC Daytime. And I don't know if it was maybe getting out of my apartment to watch it or what, but I was laughing hysterically. And Jamie Luner was really funny. And again, I'll put this out there, and I think I've said it before, but you know, a lot of times it's like people think we always think the same thing. I was a big fan of Jamie Luner in Primetime. I loved her on Savannah, loved her on Just the 10 of Us, and I even liked her on Melrose Place. I never would have thought that there would ever be a commercial about her time on Melrose Place announcing her coming somewhere else, and she was like in what, the last season? But the whole Turbo thing kind of got me, because up until this last week, for me, she's kind of just been phoning it in. I could see why Chuck Pratt called her Turbo back then, because she was like, she had this energy to every performance that was like electrifying. She was really good. But since she's been on All My Children, I haven't seen any Turbo. I've just seen her like reciting her lines in kind of a monotone way until this week. Pretending to be in labor, she was right there delivering. I really think they could have a really good triangle between her and Ricky Paul and Chrishell. That I like that. That was good, soapy fun. I enjoyed it. The little girl that plays her daughter, though, Jesus Christ, I can deal with her.
She is so awful.
I can suspend my disbelief and learn to buy her as Liza, but I cannot buy this child as Colby Chandler. I mean, can they find Erin Hershey? Can ABC hire Marcy Ryland? Can they do something? And you know, this little girl, she doesn't, she doesn't give me the same kind of angry reaction that certain bad recasts do on CBS and Days. I mean, there's really nothing to get angry about because she's just there. I mean, there's no
Marcy Ryland.
Her performance isn't like horribly bad. It's just anemic. She's just like blah. She's just there. And I mean, I would expect them to find a young Haley Santos. I mean, you know, a young Haley or Sky. I mean, Adam, they set the bar pretty high for Adam Chandler's daughters with the first two. So they really need to recast this child with someone who can bring it. You know,
I like your suggestion of Marcy Ryland, because Marcy Ryland as a Chandler would be freaking awesome. And getting rid of Breon, ugh. Her portrayal of Colby is just terrible. Let's talk about General Hospital for a few minutes. Jamie, you also broke some news on General Hospital with Josh Griffith landing a trial writing gig at General Hospital.
Yes. Daytime is a smaller place for writers, and so we're seeing a lot of these former head writers and, you know, co-heads and things like that join writing teams. And, yeah, he got a trial gig there. You know, he co-created Sunset Beach with Guza, and he was popular, from what I gather, during his stint at One Life to Live. I wasn't watching the show then. It's getting to where, with these veteran writers, it's really hard to even know what is what. My thing is, where is the ABC Daytime Writers Program? Hogan Sheffer proved that if you bring someone in that isn't in this whole recycling of old writers, you can sometimes strike magic. I mean,
well,
he probably
so did
bought.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I love Sheree, but I'm going to give this more to Hogan, because I'm talking not just Sheree was brilliant creatively, but the ratings weren't as good. And that's all they care about. They don't care about brilliant creative stuff, or Santa Barbara and Ryan's Hope would be on. To SoapNet, to Brian Franz, the fact that the first night shift with all the Jason Quartermain and usual mob stuff was, you know, higher rated than the one with Sheree Rao. That's all they care about. That it's sad to say that that's all they care about. But Hogan Sheffer came in out not being of daytime and spiked ratings for As the World Turns, and in my opinion, probably bought that show another decade on the air. You know, same thing happened with freaking Harding Pete LeMay. I mean, if you read his book, 8 Years in Another World, he was a playwright. They brought him in. He told PNG, your shows suck. I can't even watch this crap. And they let him write it, and he, you know, took him right to the top. Why they're not, if they could get away from let's give an old friend a job and go out there, and, you know, all people know that I, like, pursued a career in soap writing, which I am not doing and haven't done in a year and a half. So it's not about me. It's just find someone. There are people out there, new blood, that can save this genre. But people are so concerned with giving their friends jobs. And I'm not dissing Josh Griffith, but I can't say that this is going to be any different than the same old, let's go get all our old buddies and give them jobs and so they can recycle storylines they've been telling for 20 years.
Karen, you mentioned the fact that you're not happy with the Martha Burns storyline as the mayor's wife. Why is that?
I think that having the mayor come back after an absence of, I don't know, a year, was ill-conceived. I don't care about him. Now, my brilliant idea was to have Kate be found dead in the bed, not some mistress person that I don't care about. Somebody that at least was on the show in the background be found dead in the bed. And then just having this new character come in, all of a sudden she knows Rick out of the blue. They have a scene at his apartment, one in the hospital, and now Rick Hurst is off the show.
Yeah, nice exit that was,
so
too.
What,
huh?
I mean, I just don't get the connection. If this is supposed to be some big CSI murder mystery, I don't think they're playing it out very well at all.
Reagan, you mentioned Rick Hurst. Last scenes.
Horrible, horrible, horrible exit. I hated it. I'm leaving for a better opportunity in LA, but I'll be back. And he gets in an elevator. You don't have him have a scene with Alexis. You have him with his daughter. You have him tell Diane and Claudia. Those are the two people he tells that he's leaving. Ugh. Just horrible, horrible, just bad. They put him on recurring almost, what, 2 or 3 months ago. They knew it. Everybody knew Fred.
Yeah, they could have done
Danny was the first to break it.
Yeah, you had to know that out of all the man has been on so many soaps and he's so talented, they had to know somebody was going to come in and snatch him up. They should have had a better exit story ready to go and just waiting.
He could have been in Mayor Floyd's bed.
He could have been in Mayor Floyd's bed. Karen should be writing a soap. There you go. Now that's something people would watch. I mean, but yeah, in their arrogance, they assumed that Emmy winner, wildly popular vet of several soaps, Rick Hurst, would be happy to sit there and take recurring while, you know, Anthony Geary still gets paid the king's ransom to do nothing.
To go to Amsterdam for 6 months a year.
It's like, please. And, you know, it's obviously now kosher to speak out on that. You know, it's funny. A while back, you couldn't say anything bad about Anthony Geary, but I think the last year, what is the point? And that's what, you know, if I was a, you know, if say I'm not a soap fan and I am a member of the board of directors of Disney Corporate, and I look at the budget and I see what they're paying this man, I go, what is the point of this? Yeah, Luke and Laura were popular 25 years ago, but what is the point of paying him an exorbitant amount of money now, you know, when you can't keep viable leads, you know, they never utilized recursed. And
before we get to
Ranted enough, so go on.
Before we get to Karen's spoilers, I want to talk about something that had me very excited this last week on General Hospital, and that was Carly going to the Quartermains in need of help. That was the best thing ever. I've been waiting for Michael to return to the Quartermain Mansion for years to see her go there and to lay it on the line with them. And she's always had amazing chemistry with Edward, Monica, Tracy. Then to have Jason show up and Edward say, "Why don't you move back too?" was the highlight of my week on ABC Soaps. Karen, I know you're a big fan of the Quartermains. What did you think?
I was so happy. I really wish the name AJ would have come up.
Yes, that would have been nice.
And I really wish it would have come up when Michael was saying, it's in my genes to be in the mob. It's like, kiddo, no, it's not in your genes to be in the mob because you don't have any mob genes. I would have loved
He should be a drunk. No, I'm just
kidding. I know. Billy Warlock to jump out from behind the door and just say, oh,
boo.
You know, I told you, man. I loved the scenes. I hope that this means they're going to integrate the Quartermains a lot more, but come on. I don't know.
Reagan, for me, it was a sign that they might be trying to give youth and vitality back to the Quartermain family. Is it too much to hope? Will this just be another disappointment?
I think it will. I don't think that the people currently writing have a commitment to the Quartermains. They don't value them the way that the fans do. I think if they really wanted to do this properly, they would focus a little bit more on ELQ and that as well while Michael's living with them. You know, listen, the Quartermains in the past, they were these scandalous, hardcore business people that didn't do everything on the up and up either. They're hardly the moral compass. It's not like, you know, Carly sending Michael to live with grandma and grandpa in their little white cottage and he's going to have milk and cookies every day. And I'd like them to really focus on who they really are. And, you know, is it going to be a lot of Edward and trying to get him, Michael, into ELQ and his heir? Probably, but I rather see that and really see the Quartermains get built back up. I've said it a thousand times. We need a couple to return. I was really upset when Wally Kurth broke that he was going to Days of Our Lives. I thought,
sorry,
that
Reagan.
Huh? I know you're excited.
Sorry, Reagan.
I just think he would have been the perfect one to really work hard to get back. Ned's got so many connections in town, not just his family, but I think that would have been the perfect Quartermain to really fight hard to get back.
Well, you know, it would be a perfect opportunity for them to recast Dylan. I mean, because Tracy, her driving.
Well, they said it on the show. Why is it that you always have good stuff?
Right, and
Monica's
that's her
kid.
Driving thing. You know, they should have Tracy, like, they should have Dylan, like, about to be finished on a indie film, and Tracy buy the production company and blackmail him to come home
and
work at ELQ because she's afraid of, you know, Michael being named the heir, you know. And there you have a young adult rivalry with two Quartermain kids that are – and there you have a viable romantic partner for Christina other than her brother because that's gross.
And, you know, and if Scott Clifton wasn't so comfy and doing so well over One Life to Live, I'd be like, no way. If you can't get Clifton back, do not recast it. But I'd agree. Recast Dylan, bring him back, have that little bit of cousin versus cousin. Because I'd really rather see that story play out than this whole Dante thing and having Michael versus Dante. I'd really rather see a little bit of Quartermain action that way. I'm really not into Sonny having another kid. I'm not into this show once again focusing solely around him and what he's doing. I got so excited. I used to not. I mean, you see, like, our readers that get so excited, woohoo, Sonny Free Day. And I used to be like, oh, it's not that great. I mean, I like Sonny to a certain extent, and I'm not against the mob as much as everybody else is. But, God, when he's not on, I'm like, thank God, this is a good day. It seems to be the best days when he's not on.
You're going to have to stay tuned
for
the week episode because I'm going to have a slightly differing opinion on that.
Yeah, me too. Sonny, this week, I'll say this about Sonny for me has been given a second lease on life now that he's a patriarch. But, yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about that more.
Has he gotten better? Yes, lately. But
See, I'm enjoying his scenes with Michael. I really am. As a father, and when he went and said, you are not going to be in the mob, and went through the line by line what he had to do and how it was like bad money, I was like – and then when he gave him the car and he's just trying to be this a good father to his son and he's doing bad things because he's trying to be a good father, I was like, I'm enjoying this. Karen, tell us some wubberific spoilers.
First of all, I want to tell you that my best source told me that the month of July is going to be the most chopped up, re-edited, rewritten month so far. And if you know how the months have been going, that's pretty bad. So I have left a lot of scoops off. I have left a lot of dates off. If you've noticed, a lot of the dates don't dovetail anymore. One of the biggest things, and maybe you've seen the script floating around, is supposedly Luke is going to be held by Helena. Tony's going to do some black taping imagine that, in a room with some chick that Helena either also has captive or is part of a Cassadine crew.
Maybe there's Emily.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think. Supposedly her name is Evangeline. No, that's okay. Another Emily, right? The triplet. Alexis's email is going to come to light, which kind of is cute, given the headlines, you know, with the governor. And as far as everything else goes, Christina and Michael are supposedly going to go on the run. Jason and Sam are going to follow. And that's about all I have. I'd like to report that Olivia gets pregnant, but I can't. I would love that. But
final thought, Jamie?
My final thought is people just do your jobs. Just act. This industry is dying. You don't have time to go in and demand things to these. I don't think anyone does. I'm sorry. I don't think anyone from Anthony Geary to Erica Slezak at this point in this dying industry can afford to be demanding or making protestations of what they will or won't do. I'm so over that. I mean, yeah, if you're on As the World Turns, I have a little more respect for you, or All My Children, I guess, in a way. But again, if you're a veteran, but I'm just really over these people trying to hijack shows. It's so played out. I mean, it makes for good hits on Daytime Confidential, but it doesn't make for good soap opera. And these writers need to get their heads out of their asses, the ones who are messing things up, so that people won't have to be so combative. I don't know. It's just a crazy week.
Reagan?
I would just like to remind the writers that Cameron is actually older than Molly, so when they age Molly and we still have Cameron as cute as that little boy is, the same age, you're making a big boo-boo.
Karen, final thought?
My final thought has to be on the ratings, which we didn't really mention, but last week was one of the first weeks that GH never cracked 2.0. And it also had its lowest day, which is at 1.6 on Tuesday. So they speak for themselves, and they better hurry up and do something and turn around and start writing some decent stories that I want to watch, or, you know, everybody's going to be gone.
That's true. Well, we would encourage you to comment on this episode on the blog at daytimeconfidential.com. Click on podcast and the episode that number that corresponds with what you see on your computer or iPod. You can also email us at podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye.
Bye.
See you soon, I hope.